please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air performance number 483. I'm Lisa Sheps. I can't say my own name. I'm joined here by co-host extraordinaire Nicole Shiro. Well, I just don't know why I didn't have your microphone.
I am the Shiro to your Sheps.
You are, and you're listening to Shiro on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. You just better not touch the dial because this is going to be a wacky show. We'll be right back.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. Many of you will know that it's Victor Blaine's birthday today. He's just a friend of mine. On the show today, we have En Route Productions and C.B. Goodman's show called Some Humans Were Harmed in the Making of This Show. And later on, we're going to be talking to the Capital City Men's Chorus and their 30th anniversary concert. And of course, we will have lively discussion of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Amsterdam, and Paris, France. Don't go away.
Princess asleep and enchanted.
Paris, the Grand Imperial Cirque de Paris, Cirque de Paris, Cirque de Paris. Okay, what show's that from?
I don't know, but I was about to start singing Can-Can and Cole Porter. That was definitely not where that was from.
No, that is actually from Carnival, one of my favorites.
Yes, it is.
Another wonderful show by Kim Simpson.
Kim rocks
in the
it.
International Folk Bazaar. It's somehow not all that bizarre.
Never that bizarre, but never. Always that good.
Checking in with you, Nicole Shiro.
I am here.
Okay.
I have been
I hear you.
In the middle of peace, celebrating peace. International Peace Day is Friday, so I've been getting down with peace.
So, well, let's...
It's 11 days of global unity.
Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio and see if they get down with peace, because not everybody does.
That's sad.
Just saying, not everybody does. We have Andrew Rodriguez. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
Wonderful. Good job in getting right up to the microphone.
You did. I was like, that was kind of a great way to start.
The incomparable Delonte Keys is here.
Peace to all.
Peace to all. See, we got one at least.
Yeah, I know. This is good.
C.B. Goodman is here in the house.
Hello, hello. Hi.
We have Cody Eastman.
Peace for all.
Oh, good. The microphone works.
It does.
Peace to all. And Paul Halstead.
And I was actually alive in the 60s, so peace out.
Yes. Some of us were as well, so you're not alone. So Peace Day, is anybody not into peace? All right, good. Thank God. So I just need to talk about that first song. That was from a little show called Ragtime. And the singer that was singing that is one Maren Mazzie.
I know.
May she rest in peace. She died last week after a 3-year battle of ovarian cancer. She's younger than me. She's 57 years old.
She battled hard too, like, and was very vocal about it.
She was very, very vocal about it. And so we're going to play in the interstitial pieces songs from the 3 of the shows that she was in and known for. And I'm trying to think whether I'm going to lie. She was nominated for Tonys for 3 of them. No, I'm not going to be playing all 3. So I'm not playing Passion.
Esteban.
I do love Esteban, and it was it won the best musical that year, and she was nominated for best lead.
I'm surprised you didn't pick that.
I did not pick it, but because I wanted to play something that had a little more upbeat at the very end. We're going to go away with Bullets Over Broadway, which she was also in, the ill-fated Bullets Over Broadway.
I was about to say the ill-fated.
So as I mentioned, she had 3 Tony nominations, Clara in Passion, also the revival of Kiss Me, Kate, and The Mother in Ragtime, which is what we just heard. Ragtime's an incredible show.
It is.
And anybody seen it?
Yeah.
Yep, Delonte Keys has?
Beautiful.
Yep. Yep. Okay, you got to get right up on that microphone when you speak. Yeah, we...
You
get publicly
out here
shamed on the radio.
We show how the sausage is made. just made and we so shave you at the same time.
Be very careful when you answer with, don't answer with a nod, because that's a big no-no on the radio.
It's International Peace Day. I mean, don't you feel the peace?
She also, her most recent appearance, she replaced Kelly O'Hara in King and I.
Yeah.
Shall we dance? In case you didn't know what it was.
You know, Kelly's doing that right now over in Le London.
Le London.
Le London. With Ken Watanabe's back doing it with her.
So here I found out she got a lot of her training. So back in 1980 and 82, she was a Barney.
Was she?
A Barney. Not a B-A-R-N-E-Y. But a B-A-R-N-I-E. So this was people that worked at the barn in Kalamazoo, Michigan. But what I wanted to mention about this is something that our young people don't do that often. They were doing 1 week stock, which means they're playing a show for a week and rehearsing for the next week's show while they're playing that show. It's just an incredible education. So she did that, and that's where she earned her equity card. So she also, I want to read this story from her obituary about James Lapine and her audition for Passion and Mary Lou We Rode Along, which is where they met. So I'm just going to read this verbatim from the New York Times obituary.
If you're quoting James Lipton, you better read it like him.
Lapine. James Lapine.
Oh, I thought you said James Lipton. You can read it like James Lapine, too,
so
if you want.
people know that James Lapine is a longtime collaborator of Stephen Sondheim. I first met Maren when she was 24, and she came to audition for a production of Merrily We Roll Along at La Jolla Playhouse, Mr. Lapine recalled in an email interview on Thursday. She seemed very young and very unsophisticated. She sang Not a Day Goes By with such force and beauty that Sondheim and I hired her on the spot to play Beth. Years later, she came into audition for Clara and Passion. We were stunned to see when she walked into the room. Suddenly, Marion had matured into this gorgeous, sexy woman. She sang the first song from the show, and again, we hired her on the spot. I just think that's sort of a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
So the lights will go dim on all theaters on Broadway this evening, which was a site of controversy. And I sort of want to bring this up to the group.
Did you see what they said the reasoning for moving the date was, though, now?
The reason for moving the date was because of
her family. But they're saying, but they were like, yeah, we were going to still do it anyway. We're just still waiting for all her family. And I was like, no, that's not what happened last week.
What they were going to do was they were going to dim the lights of 6 Broadway theaters, one of which she didn't perform in. But her husband, it's the theater that... wherever her husband is playing, I forgot what it is. But they were only going to dim 6 theaters. And there's this committee of theater owners that make the decision of what to dim. And it's making a lot of people angry that a theater luminary, you just don't like dim all the lights. And their thinking is it will lessen the...
When they do it.
But we've had a lot of these controversies lately when people of major note have died in the Broadway world but aren't Stephen Sondheim, for instance.
Or Neil Simon.
And then there was also Joan Rivers. When she passed away, they dimmed the lights. And she's got a very small Broadway resume. But she was an icon. So anybody have any feelings one way or the other?
She was not just an icon. She was an icon that... did a lot for Broadway behind the scenes with, like, you know, not just a social icon. So,
all right, we're there. So, did anybody have any opinions about, like, should Maren Mazey get all, or should we don't out? Like, oh, I think you deserve 1 theater. You deserve 10 theaters. You deserve all the theaters.
Anybody? What do the 3 musketeers say? All for one and one for all?
All right. Okay. Well, we like that. So,
agreed. I think
rest
it's, you
in
know,
peace, Maren Mazey. Yeah. She will
Why
be...
is your talent better than mine? Why is your commitment, like, why is one life more important than another? I mean, really?
Right.
Peace.
There you go.
Peace.
Oh, my gosh. I lost my note, so I'm... Oh, there it is. So let's see what else we want to talk about. I'm going to look at my list and pick and choose because we're not going to be able to hit all of them. Let's see.
What do you pick?
Well, I want to. I'm going to talk about this right now because I love it. It's not all that big news, but the trailer for Mary Poppins Returns.
Kind of everything.
Came out. Did you see? Anybody see the trailer?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty. It looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And if you're a Mary Poppins fan, evidently the word on the actual film is not all that good. But I don't care.
Who cares? It's Mary Poppins.
So Emily Blunt playing Mary Poppins.
She's a little saucy, too.
Lynn I can't. I don't know how to pronounce this person's name. I know. I'm teasing. Lin-Manuel Miranda is playing kind of. I think they call him kind of Bert or something like that. Dick Van Dyke is in it, playing a role that he played in the original.
Oh, the banker.
Yeah,
he still looks good as the banker. One Angela Lansbury.
But
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. True. Lots of people.
Lots of people.
Looks really good. But I wanted to. It is a musical. All new numbers. But I found it interesting that in the trailer, they only showed just a little bit of one number. And let's just give this a little listen real quick. Like,
nothing's gone forever, only out of place.
It's a good thing you come along when you did, Mary Poppins.
All right, well, that last little voice was by that guy, Lin-Manuel Miranda. But so if you go to offstageonair.com when I post the show, you will get a link to that. Or you could go to YouTube and just search Mary Poppins Returns trailer. Yep. Okay. Crickets.
Yeah, that
crickets. All right. Well, let's talk about these reviews. There's a couple of reviews I want to talk about. One is Collective Rage. I want to say it's at La Mama, but I would be wrong. Because it's at the Lucille Lortel Theater. By the way, and I said this on the show before, for extra points, can you name the name of the theater that was called before it was Lucille Lortel? Anybody?
I love that everybody just ding, looked ding, at each ding, other
ding,
all
ding,
like,
ding, what? Ding, ding. Anybody?
Say a name. Say a name.
Yeah, you're never going to get it. It's the Theater Delice. Which I kind of like that name better.
I know, it's a fun name.
I only know that because I worked there dropping names. I did a show there. I did Cloud 9. Cloud 9.
I couldn't play this game because I knew this story.
Pretty. I know, I've said it before.
No, but I'm just saying, that's why I didn't want them to think I was like, I couldn't play.
So this is a collective, and this is, I want to make sure this is the right one. No, this is not the right one. But it's a delight that they said, it is the one. Sorry. I never know what the show's about by reading the review. So I brought, I'm going to read you the on their website, how they describe it. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Meet five. They do the subtitle of this is Collective Rage, a play in five Bettys.
Ooh.
Okay. Meet five different women named Betty. One rich, one lonely, one charismatic, one lovelorn, and one who keeps working on her truck. Oh. One has decided to stage a production of that play within a play by that old English guy. What's his name? Oh, forget it. In Jen Silverman's unpredictable comedy, Collective Rage, a play in five Bettys, five women collide at the intersection of rage, love, and the theater. And it is spelled that way. Theater. Mm-hmm. Provoking each other to take a look in the mirror and face the person they didn't know they could be. It's directed by Mike Donahue, and it has some pretty incredible people in it.
That photo of Dana Delaney in the New York Times review is hot. She's grabbing the other woman. I was like, well, all right then.
It didn't print that picture. All I got is this one, Adrian Verse.
I've been excited about this play.
So Dana Delaney, Leah Delaria, Anna Villafanane, Adriana Verson, and Shantae Waynes. It's a pretty incredible cast. And who wrote this? I think it was Jesse Green. He thought the people that stopped the show, the cast members that stopped the show, were Ms. Villain, who played Gloria Estefan in the musical On Your Feet, and Ms. Verson, who was in Indecent. And so once she said Indecent, I know who she was. She's pretty amazing. They said they steal the show.
I text our old co-host Nick Mayo about a different play that I saw, and I'm like, do I care? And he texts back, you don't care, but you care about this. I saw it last night, and he texts me this show.
Well, great. That was a long way to get there, but I appreciate it.
But I said, well, tell me about it. And then I didn't hear anything else. So I was like,
One of the things they talked about, the punchlines, they say they're both Brechtian and Borschtian.
I like that. Yeah, that's
a good
kind of
line
awesome.
By Jesse Green. So it looks like something that would be fun to see. Another one I wanted to talk about is a play called The Arts. It's actually playing off Broadway. That's the one that's at La Mama, etc., I think. And it's a documentary thingamajiggy.
It's
Do you know about it?
I've read about it, and I don't remember enough to tell you all
about
it.
Yeah, I'm going to get there. But
it's another one of those I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it talks about, I don't want to lie. That's what happens when I don't go in order. But it talks about, I'm trying to remember which law. It's some law, progressive law that is really good.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And I can't remember what it is. And so I should never have mentioned it because I can't remember and I can't find the piece of paper.
It's breaking news about that show. That's about that law.
I just
at that theater in New York.
At that theater.
You heard it here first, folks.
I found it. The NEA. That's why I want to talk about it because it's about arts funding. It's a wonky and extremely niched experiential docudrama at La Mama, etc. Did I say that what I said? I did say that. Yeah. I got that right. It's a history of arts funding in the United States, and it's a kind of a documentary. It said it really sort of falls flat at times, but into chaos, it says. So it says, the show does a clear enough job at delineating the NEA's creation, but it descends into chaos when it arrives at culture wars in the 80s and 90s.
Isn't a history of culture funding a tragedy, not a drama?
It is indeed.
It is. Yes.
It is indeed. So it seemed very interesting. You can find that review on Offstage and on the Air. So I'm going to actually start to wrap up here because I want to make sure we have time, but I do want to talk about Theater Talk has shut down.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I feel not good about it.
Yeah.
So Theater Talk, for those of you that don't know, is a talk show that was created by Susan, I'm going to come up with her last name.
That lady.
In that city. I am so bad. Susan Haskins. It was created by Susan Haskins, Michael Riedel, and one other person.
I was like, I knew Michael Riedel, but...
Yeah, and there's three of them that started it 30 years ago or so. It was part of CUNY TV, the City University of New York, and they left because it led to a dispute of editorial control. So evidently, they
really?
Had change in leadership at CUNY, and they wanted to start... corporatizing, she said, and they couldn't come up with another place. The other person that was the third leg of the stool was Stephen Ahern. And their first...
It's just Stephen Ahern! That's kind of funny.
Their first guest was John Simon, who... I used to love reading his reviews in New York Magazine, but he was just evil.
Do you think?
He was not nice.
No,
but they were so entertaining to read.
Well, as long as you weren't being reviewed,
it goes back to that
because
finding pleasure in other people's pain.
He got
pain
personal.
Kind of
it had nothing to do with the work. It had to do with how you know
it
what
was a
you
tit
look
for
like.
Tat.
It was very, very. Yeah, I didn't like his style.
Do you think?
Looking back,
you know, with some of these other shows that got canceled, and then these on-site publications, do you think someone would pick it up somewhere? I mean,
it didn't sound like it.
I don't know.
It sounds like it's DED dead.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah. Closed this Sunday. This last Sunday, we lost three shows on Broadway.
We did.
Yeah, we did. SpongeBob SquarePants, which I'm surprised closed. We thought it was doing so well.
Well, it's funny because then when they announced it's closing, everything went through the roof, and then these three shows stayed on and closed so that they could still be a part of the 2-for-1 Broadway family that they do the month of September to get people in.
Okay.
So these three stayed a part of it to be a part of that program.
So the other two of those three was getting the band back together, which is no surprise. It did not.
No, that
well.
Was that was open last week and closed this week.
And Carousel.
Carousel had a good run.
Yeah, it did. The big thing that's coming in, according to Michael Riedel, is Tootsie.
I know.
Pretty amazing. It's in previews in Chicago right now. Santino Fontana is playing the Dustin Hoffman role, and
I do love me some Tootsie.
They've changed it. Those of you that remember the movie, it was in the milieu of soap operas. So mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman's character became a star as a female in soap operas. This time it's Broadway. So she becomes a Broadway star. David Yazbek did the music and the writers Robert Horn, and it was directed by somebody named Scott Ellis, who might actually go somewhere if he works on it.
That little candor net protege.
It begins previews in March on the 29th at the Marquee Theater in the Minskoff building.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I watched that theater go up.
Did you?
I watched that whole building go up. And I was part of a group. I forgot.
You sat there for months and watched the
I did, as a matter of fact. I worked in a company, the rehearsal studios, 890 Rehearsal, not 890 Rehearsal Studios, Minskoff Rehearsal Studios, which is in the Minskoff building, and we watched it go up. Okay. The other thing that we never talked about, because we haven't been together, is the we talked about last week a little bit, but King Kong.
I was about to say, you started talking about going up. I go, yeah, I know Tootsie's coming. I'm excited, but I still can't wait for Kong.
King Kong. Has anybody
Previews
seen any
in
of these?
October.
It's gonna be a huge flop.
It's gonna be a flop. Yeah, I know that. It's gonna be like Spider-Man.
I was gonna say Spider-Man.
And that's okay, because the 10-ton animatronic puppet is what I'm going for.
So if
the that's just whoa.
So if you want to see what that looks like, go to last week's Offstage and On the Air, and there's a link in it, and the New York Times has a bunch of videos that shows this animatronic puppet that's pretty amazing. Especially, I wasn't all that impressed when the full puppet moved, but
it runs the whole thing.
But the eye, the expression in the face, they've got the expressions down to, it's just amazing.
It's and I think that's why the facial expressions are so much cooler, that you know it's a 10-ton animatronic puppet that takes almost 100 puppeteers to work this thing. And then you see the detail in the face and in the hands and in these moments that you are like, what? It's just another crazy
break. How are you like again?
What? It's like... It's another one of those genius, the show may stink, everything stinks, but it's that genius moment that makes everybody else as an artist think more, and other work comes out of it. And I think that's cool.
Unfortunately,
I'm excited for Kong. I'm buying a ticket.
Oh, I'm excited for it, but unfortunately, in my opinion, you can get it all like you did with Warhorse. That puppetry and those puppets. Anybody see Warhorse?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all see it when it was here, or did you happen to see it in New York?
I saw it in Lincoln Center.
You got to get right up on the microphone.
I saw it at Lincoln Center.
So that was amazing. So at the wasn't the New House. What's the other theater? Anyway, at Lincoln Center Theater, it's done on a round thrust, and the horses actually walk through the audience up onto the stage.
I actually think the duck is my favorite puppet in that whole show.
I can't remember the duck. Oh, right,
you know
the
what?
Duck.
The duck is really cool. Yes.
The duck is, yeah, the duck does comic relief crosses on the stage. Anyway, amazing. All right, the last couple things I want to talk to. They are talking about a new Fiddler on the Roof tour. It's going to star Yexel Lazarov, of Israeli film and TV star. I'm led to believe, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it seems like this might be a non-equity tour.
Well, I find it interesting because it's actually touring.
Yeah, it's touring, and it just got off tour.
And it's because it's coming on our season.
Yeah, that's what this one is.
Oh,
that's this one.
That's that one with Yetzel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because when I looked on there's a click here to look on cities, and Austin was there.
Oh.
So
I don't know.
That's this one. Anyway, but I love me some Fiddler.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
I'll be
there in the audience. And the final thing I want to talk. Well, I want to tell everybody to. There's an article that you should look at. It's it tells the story of what it's like to put in a established show. It's Jennifer Simard is going into the Mean Girls and playing the roles of Mrs. Norbury, and I forgot the other two. She plays three roles. But it talks about the process of what it is like to come in as a replacement to Broadway, and you spend 2 weeks rehearsing by yourself with things, and then you get one rehearsal with the cast, and then you do the show.
They just changed their schedule too. They're canceling their Wednesday
and
matinees
doing
Sunday night shows.
Yep.
Wow. 7:30 Sunday nights.
That was the schedule that my one and only attempt on Broadway was. We did a Sunday night show.
Yeah.
Although we never did a Sunday night show because we closed. We did during previews. But that article is worth reading. The last thing I just want to say is, did you see this thing about Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cinderella?
I was about to say, was it the Cinderella one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
can
that's
we just,
it.
Like,
he's doing another Cinderella.
Listen,
I don't get
this
it.
Is what I have to say. He should refer to his own material that he just wrote in School of Rock. Stick it to the man. That's what we want to do to you. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
We're sticking it to you.
You heard it. You heard it here first.
Sticking it to you. Yeah, no, I don't know why.
Okay. Oh, it just dawned on me that I am actually...
You know what? He must think he's an EGOT winner. He can do it all.
Oh, that's right. We did not mention the EGOT winner. Oh, we did last week.
Yeah, but maybe that's
they
it.
Were EGOT winners last week. But I do need to say, anybody watch the Emmys on Monday night?
Henry Winkler.
I taped it and watched it. I guess I'd never looked at the nomination. Yeah, why John Legend was nominated for Best Actor is beyond me.
Yes.
He does everything good but act.
Yes. I'm on the same page.
So I don't understand
you.
Why. I mean, I loved that show. I loved most everything about it, but he should not have gotten an acting nomination.
I agree with you on that
right,
one.
Good,
I
thank
do
you.
Not disagree with
All
you.
All right.
There.
So this let's go and listen to a little bit more Mary Maisie. This is when she played the mom in Carrie. This is called When There's No One. We'll be right back.
When there's no one.
And we are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
I am the Shiro to your Sheps.
You are indeed. And we are happy to have you here. You're on Co-op, KOOP 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. We're also on the podcast. So wherever fine podcasts are podcasted, you can find us there.
You can. And you know what else you can do while you're there? You can leave a little message on how awesome we are. And say,
that's if
I
you're,
like
if you,
them!
If you're doing this through the through iTunes, which they don't call it iTunes anymore. It's now the Apple Podcast Store.
They can so still like us there.
Anyway, that's true. They can. We've been talking to a load of people, but let's switch gears and talk to our friends from En Route Theater. We have CB Goodman. Welcome back,
Hi.
CB.
Thank you.
And by welcome back, well, you never really left. Delonte Keys.
Still peaceful.
And Andrew Rodriguez.
Yay. Hi, thanks for having
hey.
Us.
Hey. So this is your show. You are billed, CB, as the creator of this piece, and it is called... Asterix, some humans were harmed in the making of this show.
Yes.
So, ouch.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you for being on the show.
I kind of love the title, so like, okay, tell
okay,
us about that.
So tell us, yeah, so tell us what the show is first.
Great, so the show is a drag puppetry self-help testimony show based on the public execution of Topsy the Elephant in 1903.
I love
Unpack
it. That's
that.
Exactly what I thought.
It sounds so fun and sad all at the same time.
I know. And it is. It's a very fun show. We have a lot of camp in it, a lot of drag, right. A lot of like big sort of chewing on the scenery.
Musical numbers,
yeah.
Puppetry.
Yes.
So let's talk about Delonte and Andrew. What are your characters? Who do you guys play?
So I play Thrift Store Helen, who...
So you're a drag character, I'm guessing.
I am!
Okay, I made that assumption.
I'm the younger version of Ellie McBride's character, Helen, who you meet initially.
So do you get to wear drag... I haven't seen rehearsal yet. Do you get to wear full drag makeup? Because so that's fun.
We have a stylized makeup that we all do as a company.
Oh, okay.
But right. I think so. I think it'll, you know, that it'll, you know...
I think
we believe in equity.
I think the wig is enough. I think your wig is quite... large enough, and the little bit of makeup, it
okay.
all works together.
Large
all
right. wigs sold me there. Yes. Those are fun.
Anything else? What, did we get to the end of it? Because I stopped you in the middle asking about your makeup.
Oh, no. It's about the drag makeup. I get to do all the drag things, you know, all the lip singing, and really just sort of, I think, experimenting with femininity
awesome.
And...
Right,
it's really
so the show, because it's based on an elephant, but we don't have an elephant on stage, we are actually playing with scale, so that's where the drag is coming
I
in.
See.
So we're playing really big. So Delonte does a really good job of playing like a really sort of big character version of Ellie McBride's character.
You could have considered doing a King Kong-esque
exactly.
puppet.
No, I hadn't thought about
elephant.
That. Yeah, we could have done that. Yeah,
if you had a spare, like... $3 million
exactly. And 100 puppeteers, and then there we go.
Andrew, who do you play?
I am one of the ensemble members doing some of the puppeteer work, and I am also playing the state inducer.
The what?
I was all like, I know I do the puppeteer, and I'm the
state inducer.
Wow, I've played the state theater before. Is it similar?
maybe. So basically, there's this one point when I come out and I get the crowd excited about a surprise guest that comes out on the show.
We can say who the guest is. Who's the guest?
The guest is Tony Robbins.
Oh
yes.
My God.
Tony Robbins.
I'll buy that.
Yes, Tony Robbins makes an appearance in our show, and played by Katie Taylor. And there's a mini trampoline and foam hands, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, lovely. I need to take a quick step to the side, and we're going to play our random legal ID, and we'll just see who we get.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. I played the wrong thing. I played the theme from the legal ID's this button.
Hello, this is Aunt Pearl from Tuna, Texas, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7. You can't breathe tomorrow's air till you tune in.
There you go. Thank you, Jason.
Hey, no, that was Joe.
Oh, that was Joe. You're right.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was like, we've heard Jason. We haven't heard Joe Sears do there that in a while. There that was kind of a blast from the past.
So let's hear
speaking
more.
Of drag.
Exactly. No, that was
in, like,
perfect.
Full
absolutely.
Drag. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess you kind of call it. Yeah, it's drag. It's
I
drag.
Mean, you have foundation and undergarments.
That's true, but you don't have. They didn't do the eyelashes.
That's true. Well, they were also playing like from Tuna, Texas, right?
That's true.
So, yes.
So may as, it's Texas-sized eyelashes. So the title, Some Humans Are Harmed in the Making of This Film, does that talk about the... What is it, where did that come from?
Great. So it's like an asterisk. Like, so it's supposed to be like a footnote. Basically, when I took the story of Topsy the elephant and her, all of the elements that surrounded her public execution based on like Thomas Edison's company filming her and all of that kind of stuff, I realized that once we played had people playing the elephants and people playing the circus, then it became about people and people who are disposable. So this show is like very, very funny, but it's also very, very serious in that we are dealing with capital punishment. We've actually partnered with the Texas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty.
Rock on.
And we will be doing a panel discussion on our October 1st show.
Oh, that's great. Cool.
Great. Yeah. That's awesome. And I think a wonderful cause. I will say this. The opinions said here on Offstage and On the Air are not that of Co-op or the board of directors or its staff, but certainly ours. And I totally agree with you. I'm actually in a weird thing about the death penalty. I kind of would be okay with it if you were 100% sure that the person was guilty and it wasn't disproportionately
doing people of color,
group. So therefore, I totally believe it should be abolished. should be abolished. So
well, and we're really excited because Jason Baldwin, who is a part of the West Memphis Three, I don't know if you ever saw that documentary, yeah. Paradise Lost, he's going to be on our panel and talk about his experience being incarcerated and what it was like. So,
and would
really
people
excited.
Find information about that on the Enroute website?
Yes, you can go to enrouteproductions.com. And find more information about our tickets and dates and all of that good stuff.
I just want
to
say
he's a very important person to talk about this. That's very exciting that you got him to come and be a part of this show.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we're really excited.
So what's tell us some more. What are some of the challenges and the joys you've had? Because this is a completely a devised piece, is it not?
Well, I wrote this piece, okay. But then once the cast came on, we started to make it better. We made my writing better.
As I said, this is a piece that you wrote that you took input from the cast.
Exactly, the way you stated it.
Yeah,
said that the whole time.
Yeah, so this piece I began when I was living in New York. I was an artist in residence at Dixon Place Theater. Mm-hmm. And they said, do the piece that you want to do that you don't know how to do. And I read a book about Topsy the Elephant in 2013, and I thought, okay, now's the time to do this piece about Topsy the Elephant. And so through that process of having to show up every day and actually do something, that began this play. And then once I came to Austin, Lindsay Dolishall from En Route Productions was like, we have to do this play. It's awesome. So we found the cast, an amazing group of cast. We have...
who do we miss? Who's not here?
Yeah, so we have, besides Delonte Keys and Andrew Rodriguez, we have Bridget Farr, who plays Willadine. Mm-hmm. We have Ellie McBride, who plays Helen. We have Elizabeth Mason, who plays a high priestess. We have Katie Taylor, who I mentioned earlier, playing Tony Robbins. We have Roz Mandola playing Helen's boyfriend or husband, Billy. And then we have Tyler Lane on guitar.
Excellent cast.
That's
and
awesome.
You've got great. Yeah. I know Ia Estera did the set.
Yes.
Lowell Bartholomew is doing the video and the sound design.
And Aaron Curry's doing lights, and he's amazing. And
he
I did all the
nice.
Puppets
I had
and
not
props.
Met him before.
Yeah, isn't he lovely?
Because I guess we can say this, this show is being, well, we need to say it, is being done at Ground Floor Theater.
Yes.
That's why I have a passing knowledge of it.
Yes, and we open this Thursday, and we're super excited.
That's tomorrow.
Yes, oh my
Yikes.
God. Yes.
Dress rehearsals tonight. Are you ready, Delonte?
I am so ready.
Okay, Andrew, you ready?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. That, now, he,
That was, you got very excited.
Now you know why he's the state inducer.
Yes, I get it now.
Now, CB, you wrote this piece, and are you also directing it?
I'm directing it, and then I did all the props, costumes, and puppets.
Wait a minute, what?
Yes.
Now, how many puppets are there?
Countless?
Countless.
That's perfect, Monte. Perfect.
There's no room for the audience in the theater.
Exactly.
It's bigger than the King Kong puppet. No. Yeah. We have quite a few puppets because this is the idea is that Helen, the main character of this play, works at a thrift store. The idea is that she has gotten all of her thrift store friends together to put on a play. So it's sort of a play within a play.
So Helen is the main character.
I was like, yes.
But right here.
But Ellie's Helen is the main character. Ellie is also flashbacks. Helen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So. She stages, that's where the self-help testimony comes in.
Got it.
She decides to stage her own life story, going hitting rock bottom and her rise to self-sufficiency.
Self-actualization.
Self-actualization, better word. Good
so
job.
You open tomorrow.
Yes.
When do you close?
We close on October 6th.
Great. And where can folks get more information again?
Thank you. You can find more information at enrouteproductions.com or cb-goodman.com.
By the way, you say en route, I say en route. You say potato, I say potato.
Tomato.
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 I was just listening to somebody say that nobody says tomato.
My
just
grandmother does.
Okay, good.
She says it. Would you like a tomato, dear?
So, well, thank you guys for coming
to
the show.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully some of you can stick around and join us backstage. That would be groovy.
That'd be great.
If not, we'll see you on the next time. So thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was CB Goodman, Delonte Keys, and Andrew Rodriguez of Enroute Productions, production of Some Humans Were Harmed in the Making of This Show by C.B. Goodman. It is playing at the Ground Floor Theater from September 20th to October 6th. More information, enrouteproductions.com. And we will be right back.
I swear to God for once.
Hey, we are back. I want to feel human again.
And that was good. I was just like, oh, that was a good choice of song there.
So that is from a show called Body of Water, which I had never heard. Have you heard of it?
I've heard that song before, and I didn't know what it was from, so I had to look down and go, oh, what was that? I've heard this song before. I liked it.
So
I liked
this
your
is
choice.
It tells the story of 14 teens left behind in a Civil War crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is interesting. And it had an inaugural production in a theater called A Theater Near You, and U is the letter U. And it's a theater and film academy for teenagers in the Bay Area.
Theater for you, like University and you, like Yankton. And that's kind of cool.
I like the poster. It's sort of fun.
It is. The hand out of the water, a little dandelion.
So here's what I want to talk to you about in local. First of all, I've got to say, I look at Now Playing Austin to get my local information. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every Wednesday for the past month or two, the site has been down every Wednesday morning.
Is it when they're updating?
I guess, but it makes me mad because that's when I do my work.
Have you replied to them?
I'm going to talk to John Reedy himself.
I will say, though, when you go to Now Playing Austin on the front page, your little face pops up.
It does.
And
I
you're
saw that.
At the top of there looking up into the sky at the logo of the Ground Floor Theater.
That was that is the podcast that Dis Theater did, Michael Furstenfeld did, with me. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know. But I love that it's I love that you are at the top of the page.
So the Be I in Pain nominations came out.
Yes,
just
they did.
Yesterday.
Yes.
And we were fortunate. Oh, he's gone. Delonte Keys is a nominee along with other people. Mr. Nick Mayo was a nominee for The Drowsy Chaperone.
I know. I believe Alisa Sheps was a nominee.
No, she wasn't. She's not.
Oh, no. That's The Chronicle.
That's The Chronicle. But Ground Floor Theater did get one nomination for There and Back, original music by David Garza. So I wanted to just... So let's see. What are the... I don't know what the other big things are. There's like a million nominations here. But I do want to say I kind of think... I was one. The Stage Manager Award is, I don't want to say
you
stupid.
I thought you'd be happy.
A good stage manager is invisible. You don't know that person exists. So if you recognize a stage manager's work, that means they're
but
not
these
good.
These are theater
theater people in the industry.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And if I go see a show, I have no idea how good
but
the stage
manager
is.
But here's the thing. All those people voting may look at that category and go, but I don't know who they are. And then that is proof that they were a good stage manager.
No, that's not the way it works. But so here, I imagine a Biden Payne nominator coming into the theater and watching it, and the cues are being blown all over the place, and it started really late, and the stage manager is really noisy. Go, go, go. And so, that stage manager must be good because I see them. I don't know. It's just how I feel about it. Delonte Keys, while you were out of the room, we congratulated you for your Biden Payne noms for The Brother's Size, Capital T Productions, featured actor in a drama.
Them dramas.
In a drama. What was the other thing I wanted to talk? There was something else I wanted to discuss in the local section. Do you remember?
Now playing Austin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we already did that. Okay.
Yeah, you started with
No, there was something else. So the other thing I want to talk about is, which is rather newsworthy, about 4 days ago, some emails were circulated that the City of Austin Cultural Arts funding was drastically being cut. I mean, drastically. And the way it came out was, in order, any arts organizations that gets above a certain amount of money has to be approved by council. And so those names of those organizations were published in the council agenda with the awards that they were getting. So companies like Ballet Austin and Austin Shakespeare saw what they were going to be awarded, which was, in the case of Austin Shakespeare, 42% less than what they were expecting. And so that is a
ballets was like 60 or 70, yeah, like symphony. It was between 40 to 60% on most of the organizations.
It's across the board. And so the reasoning was severalfold, according to the city, that first of all, the money comes from the hotel occupancy tax, and there was about $1 million less funds available. Plus, they said they had about 100 new applicants that came in and met the criteria to get money. So at minimum, the minimum award is $4,000. So it just brought up the whole community got together, went to the Arts Commission meeting last Monday night.
I should say some organizations, though, got triple what they had gotten the year before.
And there could be a lot of reasons for that.
I know, but I'm saying it wasn't just everybody got cut. There was some that ended up getting a lot more.
A few, yes.
Besides all the new organizations and everything.
But just taking that at face value is not very fair because you don't know why.
No, but it's still information that makes part of this puzzle. Yeah.
Anyway, they have delayed that that decision. They're now going to meet, and we were going to find out the awards on the 21st of this month. Now it's going to be in October, I believe, the first or second week in October. And they've freed up a little bit more money through a fund that they hold back there, so they're releasing those funds. But the thing that makes me mad is someone that's part of this community. I mean, Austin, it's both good and bad. They are so generous in their funding of the arts organizations. Almost, 99% of the people that apply get money. So that's actually... Robert Tolero, I agree, just texted me.
But I love Bob Tolero.
What angers a lot of us is that they knew about this back in May.
Yes.
And so people that are putting their budgets together have already put their budgets together. That money is based on October 1st. So most arts organizations, you had to have the budgets together when you made your application. So there was just no warning, and a lot of us are angry. And hopefully we'll end up with a happy ending, but I have a feeling not this year. So that's my rant. But I love everybody. And I believe in peace.
Okay. It is. It's 11 days of global unity.
Let's do Today in Theater History, which I hear a rumor is C.B. Goodman's favorite part of our show.
It is!
But there it is. I was about to say I lost the paper, but here it is. Okay. So we got to get moving. 1904, Julian, I got to read this because this was interesting. Julian Eltinge, the famed female impersonator, we're just keeping everything in it, makes his Broadway debut in Mr. Wicks of Wickham. This is in 1904. It was an unsuccessful musical at the Bijou Theater. 19-year-old Jerome Kern writes some of the songs for it. Kern went on to write for Showboat and other things. At the same time on this date, E.H. Southern, a Shakespearean actor, stars in a Chicago production of Romeo and Juliet. I just thought it was interesting that we had a drag performer in 1904. And it works with what we're talking about. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, it surprises me.
No.
We were pretty puritanical back then.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to skip that one. Where's the one that I wanted, the one I thought I was talking about here? There were two productions that had the same name that opened on the same day.
It wasn't Wild Party.
And no, it is. This is it. Okay.
Wild 1960. Party.
No, it's not Wild Party. 1962. It's the opening performance of Eric Bentley's translated version of Brecht's Mann First Mann. Another version of the same show, translated by Gerhard Nelhaus, opened on the night before at a different theater. Both shows ran 175 performances.
That's weird.
That's weird. All
right. It is like a Wild Party.
It is like a Wild Party thing. Except the Wild Party, those are two different shows. This is the same show, just different translations.
It was the same story, different versions of it. Okay. Yeah.
In 2000.
So crazy.
In 2002, the Nonsense franchise spawned a new one called Meshuggah Nuns. This Jewish girl likes this. So that happened in 2002.
Meshuggah Nuns is the greatest name ever.
So other Nonsense. So of course there's Nonsense. There's Nonsense 2, Sister Amnesia's Country Western Nonsense Jamboree, and Nuncrackers, which is, oddly enough, a Christmas-themed show.
Yes, I knew the Nuncrackers.
So birthdays are Francis Farmer.
Oh, hello.
Rosemary Harris. Oh. David McCullum.
Jeremy. Some good ones.
I know. That's like I checked everything. Jeremy Irons.
Irons?
That's his name, Irons.
Irons?
Twiggy.
Is it Twiggy?
Twiggy.
She looks good, man.
Rex
I like
Smith.
That Twiggy.
Who's older than I thought, so that's good. Makes me feel good. Stephanie J. Block and Ramen Carolou.
That is a smorgasbord of birthdays today.
It's a smorgy.
Shall I say bon anniversaire?
So bon anniversaire. Let's listen to some Sugar Nuts.
Yes.
I can teach you Yiddish.
We are returned.
We are here.
We are here.
Shiro and
we had
Shucks.
Such a great conversation with the folks from Asterix, Some Humans Were Harmed in the Making of This Show.
We did, and we're about to have another great conversation.
We are.
The second of the day.
The second of the day. It's like we have multiples.
The second of the day.
So let's welcome back from the Capital Men's the Capital City Men's Chorus, Cody Eastman. Hi, Cody.
Hey, how's it going?
And Paul Halstead.
Hey, how are you?
Y'all been around for 30 years.
Is 30 right? years. We 30 feel years. Old.
Y'all don't even look 30 years old.
Well, thank
that
you
moisturizer.
Very much. A lot of moisturizer.
Moisturizer. So tell us about, for people that don't know, and I can't imagine anybody doesn't know, tell us about the Capital City Men's Chorus.
Capital City Men's Chorus, you know, we have to have a slogan. Gay men and their allies raising our voices in song to, let's see, change minds, transform hearts, and build community. We are a men's ensemble, but we're a men's ensemble for a purpose, and that is to advance social justice, particularly among the LGBT community, but there are lots of needs for social justice, so we keep our eyes open.
I haven't really noticed all those needs, but I'll take your word for it. No, that is great, and in a city like Austin, which is every 2 years we have something that goes on in that big pink building where they are usually trying to do things that harm the LGBTQ community.
Well, it's we feel lucky to be in Austin, but Texas is still Texas. And while there has been tremendous amount of progress in civil rights for LGBT people, there's still lots of problems. We have LGBT youth are the highest percentage of
of homeless youth in the nation are LGBT. So there's still lots of things to fight for, lots of things to sing for. Mm-hmm. And we love proclaiming that message, and we've been doing it now for 30 years. Tomorrow is Capital City Men's Chorus Day in Austin.
Awesome. Mm.
And we'll be at the City Hall tomorrow celebrating with the mayor.
In honor of that, I'm just not going to work tomorrow.
Hey.
I'm not either.
So tell
don't
us,
tell my boss. Tell us about some of your repertoire. What are some of the songs we might hear when you guys perform?
CCMC has been known for a lot of diversity. We do everything from classical Latin to Spanish to new music to, well, a little bit of Broadway.
I was about to say,
we're sprinkling in more Broadway. There's Broadway there.
You should be doing some shows.
I just have to go, wait a minute, because I saw you actually sing some Broadway. Didn't you sing before Beauty and the Beast pre-show?
Yes, sure did.
And there was some Broadway in there. I remember hearing some Into
there's
the
more
Woods
and more coming.
And some other stuff.
Yeah, lots more Broadway coming.
Okay, because I'm like, I just heard it, and that was like a month ago.
I think you probably heard something from Book of Mormon.
I think I heard Book of Mormon and Into the Woods and one other one. But I did hear it, so yeah. I was not.
Weren't they good?
They were great. Yeah. I had a really good time. I'm talking about it. I saw you recently myself.
Well, so, our fall show is this weekend, right. And because it's our 30th year, we're celebrating all season long. And this fall show is some of the songs that we have been singing off and on for a long time. So there's some old classics. And, for example, a 20-year-old work that was written specifically for the LGBT community called Naked Man. We're singing some selections from that, one of which is called Marry Me. When it was written in 1994, marriage was still a long ways away, so that was a dramatic gesture. So we're excited about singing a retrospective of a whole bunch of stuff, including a bunch of Broadway.
Yay!
That's exciting.
So I love the idea of playing a retrospective. Do y'all have in your
archives?
In your archives or whatever, do you have the very first song that the Capital Men's Chorus has
don't
sung?
Look at me, I just joined this ship.
You know, we don't.
This ship,
yeah.
Ship.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you said.
I promise, no bad words.
The one of the interesting things about our history is to show how much times have changed. One of the very first performances of the CCMC was at a GOP convention.
Yeah. Contradiction in terms. So Cody, you just joined the ship, as you said.
I have.
So what does that mean? Less than a year?
So I've joined before and have never been able to fulfill my commitment.
Okay.
Just because of musical theater stuff. So this will be my first season singing with them. Yes.
Excellent. So you're a musical theater performer.
I am.
You need to get them to do more show tunes.
That is the plan. definitely the plan, and working with theater communities throughout the community because I know there's an abundance of them. So
great. So how many of you, when you're in your, because I know you shrink to fit some things and grow to fit other things. What's the full contingent?
Right now we're about just under 80.
Yep.
Wow, that's a good sized group.
Well, we've grown 40% just this year.
Wow.
Whoa.
So the plan is to double.
A year.
Yep.
Now,
and how many members were you when you first started 30 years ago?
30 years ago, there were 16 singers that showed up on the first night.
Wow.
What's the criteria for being a member?
A gay man or an ally. We have straight men in our chorus. We have some transgender people in our chorus. Mm-hmm. As long as you can sing TTBB, either a tenor or a bass or a baritone part, you can join
our
chorus.
Is that what TTBB means?
TTBB.
In this room, it
does. Tenor one, tenor two, baritone or bass. You know, a TTBB chorus.
You know, you're all about an acronym.
Come on.
I can't believe you didn't know that.
That's an initialism, by the way, not an acronym.
It is an initialism. No, as long as you can sing the part and you support our mission, we would love to have you.
Great.
Awesome.
Where can folks get more information about the chorus?
CCMC.
CCMCAustin.org.
Austin.org. He's our new marketing manager. So
lovely. And you're playing this show this weekend.
This weekend.
Sure. September 22nd and 23rd.
September 22nd and 23rd.
At what theater here?
The Rollins.
The Rollins stage at the Lung Center.
Yes. That's correct.
Awesome. That's a beautiful little
space.
That's a
beautiful space.
It is a beautiful space, and we're already too big for it.
Great. But they can also go to CCMCAustin.org and get information about how to join the chorus and any other ways you might support your effort, right?
Absolutely. We have a full season lined up, and there's lots of things they could find out about.
Great. Wonderful. Well, I look forward to seeing you this weekend. I also look forward to seeing you in the Rotunda in 2019 when we're out there doing all that work we need to do.
Yep.
That's right.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much. And again, hopefully one or both of you can stick around for backstage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay. That was Cody Eastman and Paul Halstead with Capital City Men's Chorus in their 30th anniversary concert at the Long Center on the Rollins Stage, September 22nd and 23rd. More information, you may visit ccmcaustin.org, and here you'll get a little taste of some of their choral work. I could tell you right now that I would not qualify.
Why?
Because I don't TTT and B.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you know what? You qualify as an audience member to enjoy it.
I could. Well, we went through another show.
I know.
I want to wrap this up quick so we can hear a little bit more of Maren Mazey. Go to offstageonair.com to get information about the show, to see links, and also sign up for our podcast.
Yes, you just be appear in your box every day.
Yeah, do it.
Every week.
Every week, every day.
We're not there
every day. Would be bad. Austin Modern News is next. If you're listening on the radio, if you're listening on the podcast, and you should.
Yes, you should.
Stick around for Backstage at Offstage. And here is Maren Mazey talking about being a broken heart for every light on Broadway. And our heart breaks because we've lost her.
And peace.
Peace.
There's a broken heart for every light on Broadway. A million tears for every gleam they say.
Okay, the show is, the curtain has just come down on The Fantastics, our current production, which is starring all dogs and cats singing. So if you could imagine, meow, 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 meow. So that's what it was. Interestingly enough, we did not get good reviews. But we have left the theater. We're now backstage. We're sitting outside by the dumpsters. Our feet are dangling in puddles of unknown liquid. Hopefully it's just puddles from the rains that we had.
That could be the animals.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'm wondering, I don't have y'all in my headphones like I normally do. So I don't hear you anyway.
You didn't know I was there.
Yeah, I didn't know you were there. So the levels may be all over the shop because my headphones are, I'm not able to hear myself. Too much information. We are fortunate here to join us backstage is Cody Eastman. Hi, Cody.
Hey, hey.
Delonte Keys. Delonte, AKA his... what was your dog name again? I forgot what it was. In the microphone.
Stefano?
Stefano, yes. Stefano the dog actually played the old actor in the Fantastics production.
Yes, Jerry Orbach.
He did an amazing job. We have C.B. Goodman here.
Hello.
And we have Andrew Rodriguez.
Hello.
Hello. So... Delonte, you've been backstage before.
You didn't introduce me and my chopped liver. Oh. I didn't get to introduce you. We exist.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, in her dog name of Fifi, played Louisa in The Fantastics. And myself, in the dog name of Stupid Pants, played the Indian Mortimer. Okay, that's the end of the story.
Not a nice dog.
So, Delonte, have you been backstage before?
I have not, actually.
I don't think so. Great. Well, let's start with you. Where'd you come from? How'd you get in theater?
I'm from Washington, D.C., and I was kind of like a shy kid who wanted to make some friends. So in high school, I auditioned for a play. It was MAME, actually.
Yes. MAME. You know the what's musical. So funny? I was just talking Christmas about MAME right recently going, everybody used to do it. What happened?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
It'll come around again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, MAME, it used to be done like all the time, like Oklahoma
right
and everything.
Microphone.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm you can down move the with MAME being done all the time and not Brigadoon. So
you're
come
my
on now. Where's MAME?
And nothing you do is wrong.
Oh, I love that.
Let's just hear. Somebody's no, I'm not about that. Friends yeah. in the end.
Backstage, we'll just be hearing Delonte Keys.
Oh, please, no. Nobody will ever listen. Yeah,
come on.
Turn it off.
I would like to play Agnes Gooch in that.
Yes.
Gooch is everything.
She is.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did MAME in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
you grew up in D.C.
MAME.
In the city itself?
So in the city itself, and then, I don't know, like when you're in D.C., you live everywhere. So
did your family, were they in the government?
My mother works for the SEC, actually.
The Security and Exchange
Commission. Oh, yeah. Yes. Acronyms.
So is your family still in D.C., or did you
they
say,
are actually still
ciao,
in D.C.?
I'm going.
Yeah, I went to Philly for school. I was like so inspired by MAME that I had to do theater, dedicate my life to it. I was just a paper
boy. So how does a Northeastern artist find their way in Austin, Texas?
He meets a woman at a restaurant and becomes really good friends with her. And then her sister says, "You should come to Austin. Check it out. You're a vegetarian. This is a town you'd love."
There you go.
And so he grabs his best friend, his partner, and his dog and drives to Austin, Texas, sight unseen.
Do we know your best friend? Or his best friend?
Kaylee Axtell. She's a stage manager. So if you know her, then I guess she sucks.
that's why she's good. I don't think I know her.
Listening audience,
that's called a callback.
That was good, sir. Hats off to you.
Oh, thank you.
So you just came. When did you come here?
2014.
2014, and you've taken the theater community by storm.
Yeah, you really have.
I've been really fortunate.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Do you miss the cherry blossoms, though? Because you got cherry blossoms everywhere.
Cherry blossoms? Being in D.C. during the year.
Oh. I miss air that I could breathe. I go outside and I'm like, oh, this again.
Yeah. Mm. D.C. is one of my favorite towns.
It's a beautiful,
like
beautiful city.
And you know what, Lisa? It has a lot of national park passport stamps to get.
It does indeed.
Up your passport book and have to buy another there.
It is a weird place to grow up, though, because I didn't know you had to pay for museums. I like went to college in Philly, and I go to the art museum, and I try and walk in, and they're like, "Excuse me, you."
Sir, what are you doing?
It's like, what? You don't pay for museums.
Which, actually, and so you take the presidential museums, the LBJ Museum here in town was free for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Because LBJ said before he died that he does not want to meet people to pay for his, but now they charge. Anyway, end of that story.
I think that has to go back also do some funding.
Maybe.
La National Parks.
Anybody else here from the Northeast area of the country? No? Other than, we know about you. You just want to be a guest today, don't you?
me.
Cody, where are you from?
I was actually born here.
In the
studio? In that back corner behind the desk.
In the studio. I was born here.
You're in Austin. What high school did you go to?
So that's where it gets awkward because I didn't go to school in Austin. I actually went to school in Taylor, but I will not claim that because it's Taylor.
There's good barbecue in Taylor, so don't be too bad.
There's good barbecue.
There's just not good. Well, never mind. We'll keep going.
It's close enough to Austin to be, I don't know.
My parents worked here, so
you can get some progressiveness by osmosis.
Yes.
So how'd you find, because you're here representing the Capital City Chorus.
Yes.
But you made mention that you are a musical theater performer. So how'd you get involved in theater?
Weird story. So I went to Bible College.
BC, we call that.
Yeah, BC. Very BC. was pursuing music and then came out, and musical theater found me.
You came back and came out.
I did. So I did Grease and then got roped in. Couldn't stop.
Where did you do Grease?
You know Georgetown. Why? Because Grease is the word.
At the Palace?
I did.
Lovely.
Yeah, luckily I got to do Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which we did at the State. Few works. Worked with Barbara Schuler with Austin Theater Project, so trying to get
right, that's how
it.
You found me.
It is.
What did you do with Austin Theater Project?
Baby.
Wait, you did Bear. You did Baby. That's right. I saw you.
I am a bear, but I didn't do Bear.
Oh, touche! Fire's on fire back here today.
Another callback.
I don't know if that was a callback. Did we talk about bears and I missed it?
There was a bear in the production. The Fantastics.
Oh, okay.
It all comes back to the Fantastics.
It does actually come back to the Fantastics.
Who here has done the Fantastics? Never.
Okay. Never. Wow, back in the day.
Just you.
So the Fantastics and Our Town were the two shows that everybody did. And I did three different productions of the Fantastics.
No one does them anymore, just like MAME.
I also did it. So interesting thing about, no, I'm not going to talk about it. We did talk about it on the show, that there was a production here in the Fantastics, and they did, there was a song in the original, and for years and years, it's called Rape.
Yeah.
And
it's a
Jerry Orbach
song, isn't it?
Sang it, and they changed it. I forgot what it's called, Abduction, or they use a different word now.
We talked about this not too long
ago. We did, because there was a production here recently, and they did it the old way, which I think is probably Schmidt and Schwartz are probably not, they probably don't allow that, is what I would think. Anyway.
I don't know. Yeah.
Wouldn't. I wouldn't. That would be, if I wrote it, that would be out at this point.
But here's the thing. If you're writing, you write this play and you write in, don't do this, do this, do that. If it's 200 years later and things that weren't taboo then are not, like, how do you know the
How do you navigate the Constitution? What was written then and there?
Well,
you know what
I think there's a difference between, because this just happened when they did.
Is there a state takes over and makes the changes for the person?
Okay, I'm going to finish my sentence. I think it's very similar when they had the Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which is littered with the N-word, and they got rid of it. And there was a big stink because that's how he wrote it back then, and that's how they said it back then, and everybody, all of us progressives, said leave it in. But I think that's different than a contemporary, because that was something that was talking about. That specific word had something to do with the message.
With the context that, of with, the,
yeah,
yes,
right.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Using rape in the
that.
Fantastics, you can get the same message across by using a different word.
Yeah, anyway. No, and I get that. And that's where I was getting at more than the certain things that are timely.
God, well, I'm glad we got that situation.
It's like social justice today here. You know why? Because it's 11 days of
CB, where are you from?
I'm from Austin, Texas.
You
get
are.
Get out. You're from Austin,
yes.
too.
I am a unicorn.
Yeah. No, here's
I don't
the thing.
Think you're unicorns
you're not
anymore.
Unicorns anymore. You are endangered species because there are a lot of you that you're not the lone, but an endangered species for sure.
Very.
We will protect you.
Thank you.
And watch you nourish and grow.
So where did you go to high school?
I went to Westwood High School. In Northwest Austin.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know a lot of Westwood people.
I was a
territory.
Member.
We were called Wastewood when I lived there.
When I was a kid and my parents had money, we were a member of Westwood Country Club in Houston.
Oh,
it's the country
Westwood.
Club where the Jews went because we were not allowed in any of the other country clubs in Houston. That was the only one we could be a member of.
Oh, Texas.
I love Texas. I want to stay here. So I did not realize that you grew up as an Austinite.
Yes.
An Austonian,
Austin,
as we say
Northwest
it.
Austin. And then I went to UT, you know, stayed local.
I call it UT.
Yeah, UT. I went to UT. Uh-huh. Not the BC, but to UT. And I majored in film there.
Oh.
And then,
interesting.
Yeah, I worked in the film industry for a little while. And
as
then,
what?
As a, well, I was making films, but then I was also working as a script supervisor mm-hmm. and production assistant, which, you know, if you've ever been a production assistant, wow, that yes. is hard work.
It is indeed.
And a lot of people yell at you.
But you get to wear multiple walkie-talkies.
You do, and you carry lots of batteries around. yeah, so after that, I decided to move and drop out for a while. So a guy and I, we went and moved to Kentucky. And
that's
we started,
a little random.
Yeah, and then we started making movies there.
Where in Kentucky?
Yeah,
right outside of Lexington, Kentucky, in Paris, Kentucky.
Okay.
Only about
2,000
people.
Well, I get the
people.
Paris part, but everything else doesn't make sense.
I know. I used to like telling people I was living in Paris. but yeah, so then I was like, I need to make a movie. I need to meet actors. So I took an acting class. And then once I started taking acting classes, I was like, oh, wait, this theater thing's pretty cool.
How many people are in Paris, Kentucky?
I have like 1,800.
Oh, wow. That's like
well, now,
small town. Okay.
1,799.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure more babies have been born since I've left, but yes.
Yeah, but your slot could never be filled.
It's true. My cookie decorating and cookie bouquet.
So how long were you in Kentucky?
I was there, oh my gosh, I can't remember. I'm bad.
A year, six
a
months?
A couple years.
Couple
no,
years.
A couple years, yeah.
Wow.
So you started,
you.
You found theater in Kentucky.
I did. And so my acting class, my beginner acting class, they were like, you should all audition. All of you should audition just to see what it's like. And I was like, cool, I want to see what it's like. And it was an open audition where we all got to watch each other up on stage. And then they kept cutting people, cool. And they kept cutting people, but I was sticking around. And I was like, okay, I'm still here. And then I got cast as Little Bit in How I Learned to Drive. And I made a lot of enemies in that tiny town. I pissed off a lot of ladies. Who's this new person coming in taking my part? Yeah,
yeah,
so.
In that kind of situation, it's probably
that's
very
all
much
they
like
they
waiting for Guffman people. And
oh,
like,
yes.
You know, those people are, you know, you don't take their.
No.
Well, it's Kentucky. And so they had, because of the Actors Theater in Louisville, mm-hmm. they had the rights to How I Learned to Drive. So to do it in Lexington was sort of like a big deal.
Right.
And so, Yeah. I got out alive.
Well, but now you've become a theater creator. And not only that, you're creating these pieces that are multi, what's the word I'm trying
faceted?
To come up with? No, but yeah, that works. multi disciplines. Thank
the
you. Multi disciplines. That's the word I was trying. This will happen to you.
old age.
Yeah.
It's great.
So yeah, my one contemporary today decided to leave, and so I'm here all by myself as like the super old. You're
not,
old, but I'm super
not
old.
I'm not that much younger than you, though. You know,
10 years. 9 years, 8 years, 7 years, doesn't matter.
I'm closer to 50, so I'm closer to you than I am to the rest of them in here.
Oh, well, maybe.
Yeah, see, yeah, they're all like, oh, yeah.
Everybody
never mind,
disclose your
sorry.
Age, but everybody do it all at the same time. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I'm not 43. Saying
21.
Did you say 21?
I said 21.
No.
And then Mazel he poses tov. And he makes a pretty picture and smiles.
I just want to say this on the record on the radio that I got carded at the highball the other day. So
Woo,
there you
isn't
are.
That exciting? Yes.
Well done.
That's what
so
I
Andrew,
told her.
Where did you come from? Did you come from Austin?
No, I actually grew up in a small town called Mirando City.
Mirando City. Look City. Looking City.
Yeah, the Looking City.
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's South Texas. So it's about
in the valley?
Kind of near the valley. It's more so towards Laredo.
Okay.
So we're like 30 miles east of Laredo.
East. Wow. I was about to say which in which direction toward that way. So.
Yeah.
Well, did you do theater
too far
there?
Of a drive to visit your family?
It's about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
So my school I went to, it was a super small school. There were 17 people in my graduating class.
A trias, we call those.
Whoa. Wow.
There were how many?
17 in my graduating class and 96 in the entire high school. So we didn't have a theater program, but our English teacher did a play, and we competed in the UIL 1-Act play. So that's how I got my start into theater.
Wow.
And
you went...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how did you leave that small little town? Did you come to the UT?
He went
you
to,
wearing?
I came
I was about to say,
UT.
He's wearing a UT theater school and theater and dance.
Yeah.
He was hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked. And so I came to major here, and I'm a theater education major at UT Austin.
Okay.
Okay,
so you want to be a...
education,
right.
That's everything.
Yeah, so you want to be a high school theater teacher?
I'm actually... So we're getting trained to teach K-12, and then I'm also planning to pursue an MFA program to teach university level.
Awesome. That's exciting.
That is very
do you
exciting.
Have a, is, do you have something on your wish list about... Wish list?
wish
list about
what...
What
do you have on your wish list today, young man? Tell us...
About what school you would want to, you know, if I could say, we'll get you tenure at any school you want right now. Which one would it be?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm really interested in Columbia. I think they're doing some really great experimental work, and yeah,
cool. New York City, we love it.
Well, Andrew, you're really interested in doing new work, right?
Yeah, that's mainly my emphasis is new play production and development. So I think New York off Broadway is the place to be for new
great.
Work.
Perfect. I approve.
I do too.
I approve. Are
cool.
you also a writer?
I am not a writer.
Okay, but you have written.
I have written.
He wrote a little bit in the play we're doing. Some humans were
you
harmed.
You better speak about yourself.
He did. He's like, excuse me. Let's get it real and tell you what's going on.
Well, so what did you write for the show? That some humans were harmed in the making of this show.
I wrote a line. Can I say it, CV?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
it's gonna have.
We don't
no
have
context.
The same. We don't have the same rules here, by the way, that we have in there.
It's called Kung Fu Power Packed Chocolate Chip Protein Bar.
Oh, yay. I want one.
I want that every day.
I know.
Every
I was
day.
About to say, I want one.
I actually had that for breakfast this
morning. Oh, my gosh.
Tony Robbins approves, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's
of
a
that,
Tony Robbins
of that power.
So, Cody, Delonte, sounds like you want to say something. You're like...
I'm just glad that Andrew didn't finish the line for you.
There's
oh,
more?
Yeah, there's a surprise.
There's more. Well, I'll see it. I will see it. You're performing it in my space.
My favorite part.
So I want to end with this. And I want to ask Cody, if you were to do any musical theater show as a performer, director, whatever, what would it be?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do it.
Now. Do it.
Do it.
Now.
Do it.
No pressure.
Probably Anastasia, just because I feel like it's really underplayed right now. But
okay.
The music is gorgeous.
Is there any particular song or character you'd be
I'd
interested in?
I want to be
in?
The female. Okay. As a drag performer.
Yes.
Oh, awesome. With the eyelashes.
Full on makeup. Yes.
With the eyelashes. I just heard something about Anastasia on one of my podcasts, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, it's on the tour in the season, and one of the producers is an Austinite.
It's on the tour. That's what I was going
to
say.
I don't know.
That's
I'm trying to say. Connect all these different things that it could be. Do you
I don't
have to cut me off? I was trying to. I was working with you there.
Well,
trying.
Listen, thank you guys for braving the elements and coming out here to the backstage. We need to get back. We have a put-in rehearsal. We have a new Bellamy going in. It's Jack Rabbit the dog.
You got to get the Vishla out of the way.
Playing, you know, plant a radish, poof, a radish, et cetera. In all seriousness, I did play in 1974 a tour of Wizard of Oz, and listeners of this show know what role I played. Do you remember?
Toto.
Oh, 6 months playing Toto.
Six months?
She played Toto.
Woof, woof. I was good. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us back here. And as we leave, as we walk back upstairs to go back into the theater through the stage door, we'll listen to the dulcet tones of Anastasia, performed probably by a cis woman at this point, but we will imagine it being done in drag.
It's off Broadway. Oh,
yeah. Thank you guys for coming back here.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
You don't know what it's like not to know who you are, to have lived in the shadows and traveled this far.